Hope you're liking our brand new podcast, Office Horror Stories. I'd like you to become our Employee of the Month. I'll even hook you up with a $100 Visa gift card for being the Office Horror Stories Employee of the Month. Huh? That beats any parking spot or having your name on a crappy little plaque down a hall that nobody walks through, huh? For your chance to win the $100 Visa gift card and title of Employee of the Month, all you have to do is give us a review on Apple Podcasts or iTunes. Then, shoot me an email with a screenshot. It's that easy. You're entered to win the $100 Visa gift card and title of Employee of the Month. So, go to Apple Podcasts or iTunes, leave your review of Office Horror Stories, then email that to me. Send it to Tony at OfficeHorrorStories.com, T-O-N-Y, at OfficeHorrorStories.com, and you're entered. Once a month, we'll pick a brand new Employee of the Month, give them a $100 Visa gift card, and you, by leaving that review, help spread the word that this show exists. As many employers like to say, it's a win-win, huh? Leave that review on Apple Podcasts or iTunes, send me the proof, and you are entered. Go ahead, go get it done right now. Thank you for the support, and we'll let you know. Have you ever heard of horror stories from a rideshare driver? Today, we dive into what can be the hellish world of driving crazy drunk people around all night for very little pay.
Welcome to the world of crazy workplaces, Office Horror Stories.
Have a crazy workplace story to share? Call in toll free.
1-833-HATE-JOB.
1-833-HATE-JOB.
Or write in at OfficeHorrorStories.com. This is Office Horror Stories.
That indeed it is. And yes, 833-HATE-JOB is our number. Call it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, right when the crazy shit goes down. Just vent it all out there on our toll-free line. You can also write in on the website, OfficeHorrorStories.com, and share your Office Horror Stories with us. Please press subscribe, whatever platform you're listening to us on. Leave us a review. All of that helps us exist. The more support we can get in the form of just you guys telling people that we're doing a show like this, whether it be sharing it on social media, whether it be leaving a review, whether it be pressing subscribe, that's how we keep the water out of this boat and keep it from sinking. So that's a big thing right as we are getting this thing off the ground. Please do your part if you're liking the show so we can continue doing this for many a moons to come. Tony and Carol Hughes joining you on today's episode. And how are you this
Friday? I love this whole theme for this day.
This theme, yeah. The rideshare. Well, it's not every story,
so
but
goes
there's
both ways.
Yeah, there's a good one in here.
Yeah, because you could be the driver.
Yeah,
and you get the horribly drunk people, or you could be the rider with the driver who doesn't shut up.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, seriously.
Have you ever had
Nashville once, and I'm like, there's two of us in the back of the car.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're going to this deal middle of the afternoon, and it was about a 15-minute ride, and she just wouldn't quit telling us about all of her horrible aches and pains and her feet and her bunions and how hard it was to walk and how she had to have surgery and, like, when she did have surgery. And I'm like, did I ask for any of this? I'm friendly. I am really friendly.
Yeah.
But I don't want to hear about your foot surgeries. Then I got to thinking later, maybe she does that to everybody because it makes her seem really sad, and people would over tip her maybe because she has so many problems with her feet.
I guess that could be a strategy. When I get shit like that, I under tip. I do leave a tip, but it's like when it's like you were just uncomfortably annoying or you were saying inappropriate things or you crossed a line, then it's like, yeah, I mean, I don't do the sympathy tip when people are like trying to milk it.
Yeah.
You know? I don't know. I mean, it could, maybe it pays off for her. Maybe it works sometimes. We had one not that long ago where I had the kids in the car too. And I think, where were we? We were in Savannah, Georgia. And we were taking one of them back. And it was like a sob story of everything that was going wrong, of her husband's parents, and then the kids, and then an aunt, and then I mean, it was like, it would have just kept going if the ride had continued. And it's like, I don't know how you keep going on this story, because it's like it's 50 layers of Dr. Phil. Will it ever end? And I just didn't know what to say, because it's like, and there was never like really a room or a space to like interject or be like, oh, that's, I'm sorry to hear that. It was just like, and then it just kept layering itself.
I wonder if there's people like that, because we all know those people who always have these stories and they one-up you all the time.
Yeah.
Somebody like that, a rideshare sort of driver would be great for them, because they've got these people captive.
Yeah.
And they can talk to them all day long.
They got no choice. And they're getting paid to do it. I guess it's a perfect job for a narcissist, I guess, if all you want to do is talk about yourself and talk to people. That's, you know, captive audience, they can't move, and you're going to get paid no matter what. You're at least getting that fee. But I don't know. It's interesting. I've had them where they don't, I get taken to the wrong place before, which to me is kind of baffling, where it's like, okay, you have like a map in front of you that is showing you a little car, and it's saying like my destination is like way the hell over there. Why are we
and
right
it
here?
It tells you where to turn right and left. Like, it literally tells you.
I know. So I don't know. I mean, I've had some great ones. I've had some horrible ones. It'll be interesting to hear the perspective from a driver, because
I will say most of my Uber drivers, I've only done Lyft a couple times, mm-hmm. but most of my Uber drivers have been great.
Yeah.
Because I really want a high rating myself.
Sure.
So, like, I don't give anybody a bad rating, and I overtip, because I want to be, if there's options, I always want them to go, what? She's a 4.98. I'm going to go get her.
Yeah.
I tend to, like, so even the lady who is ridiculous about all of her aches and pains, like, I will still go ahead and give her 5.
Just sure.
Because. And I shouldn't, but then I don't want her to lower my rating.
It's an interesting system.
She judges me. I have to judge her.
Yeah. It's like, okay, everybody, at the end of the ride, let's judge each other. it's not a bad thing, because you can, as a driver, I'm sure you want to know if there's horrible customers out there. It works both ways. I'm just, you know, we're just sharing from our perspective of being riders. But, you know, it totally works both ways. And I like that you can, you know, essentially warn your colleagues of, this person is a total asshole. You do not want them.
And I got the feeling that people we'll hear about in these stories tonight are the people who have a really hard time getting an Uber.
Probably. Couldn't you just create a new account, though? I wonder how that works. Like, once you get, you know, blacklisted, if you can be like, all right, well, new account, new username, different credit card. And then, you know, you're back in. I suppose that's what you could do, but that'd be kind of a pain every time. I don't know. 833-HATE-JOB, 833-HATE-JOB is our phone number, or officehorrorstories.com. Go there, write it in, and we may read it on a future episode of the program. Let's go to our first letter. It says, I work at a Canadian bingo hall. My story is, one night I worked alone because the other girl I was supposed to work with called in sick. So instead of my manager staying to work with me, she went home. I was so overworked that the acting bingo hall manager had to tell customers that I was alone and I was only making a few simple items on the menu. When I had to close the snack bar at 11:30 p.m., I had people asking me to cook hamburgers and hot dogs. I told them I was closed, but they told me I should stay open till bingo finishes. I had to be out by midnight after cleaning, sweeping, and closing dishes and closing cash. All this takes about 30 minutes. My manager did this to all of us who work under her. I'm thankful the acting manager was a very good person and would help me clean and close. My manager thought she was better than God. The next day, I was told that I did a bad job cleaning up and I needed to be faster or I wouldn't have a job. This went on for 4.5 years. She also would leave early for some reason. She'd tell nobody. Her shifts were 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Monday to Friday, while the rest of us worked 9:30 a.m. to 3 p.m. or 5 p.m. to midnight. Sometimes I had to work 9:30 a.m. to midnight, then begin my next shift at 9:30 a.m. I even had my manager call me for a whole week when my mom died, asking me to work because she was short of staff. Sorry to say, but now she must make up for the staff that quit, myself included. As they say, karma is a bitch. Hope she has as many problems as the staff had while working for her. I'm 5'3" tall and had to grab boxes of fries from the bottom of a deep freezer for the day. I was literally almost falling headfirst into this thing, trying to pull the boxes out, and she didn't even care about her staff. To her, staff was as replaceable as shoes. But if she had any emergencies, she left to go see about it. I had emergencies. I had to work until my shift was over and then to see about what happened if I could ever get off. So there you go. Really a demanding boss in a role that, you know, don't do as I do, but do as I say, essentially.
She's like the bingo lady Nazi.
Essentially, yes.
Like, well, and sometimes I think people like that who are running, with all respect to that person, who, but, you know, the boss of the bingo snack bar.
Sure.
A little bit of power.
Yeah.
It went right to her head.
It happened. You know,
she's like, I am the head of the bingo snack bar, and everything I say goes. And then you have that power over those people. And that's what they want. Because, you know, the bingo lady snack bar manager, you know, probably didn't have a lot of other options.
Yeah, you're probably right.
That would have given her power, I should say.
Yeah.
And I don't mean that with any disrespect to people who work. I have worked in fast food and done all of those jobs.
Yeah.
But the fact that she worked there, or he worked there that long under that person, like, I can't.
Yeah.
I'm to the point now in my life. Well, I'm like, I can find another job.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? But sometimes you're in a small town and it's not like there's a lot of other jobs.
Sure. I think that's how it is too when you're younger a lot of times. At least I think it was for us, where when you're younger, it's like, shit, I need this job. I can't do without it. And as you get older, you realize, oh, there's a shitload of jobs out there. There's a lot of things I could do. I didn't really need that job that I thought I needed. But it's a perspective thing. You know, it's like, it's a big, great big world. You didn't really realize how big it is until... until after
really working at Taco Grande, I could have worked at Burger King or Sonic or any number of other fast food restaurants.
Yeah.
But I loved my job at Taco Grande. I loved it. And, but I didn't have bosses like that. My bosses were always really good. But it's that type of person. You can get the wrong person, give them a little bit of power, and they abuse it.
Yep.
So, like, that's where that person gets to be king or queen. And, well, not even king or queen. They're like a dictator where everything they say goes.
And
it's a license to treat people like that.
I think a lot of that comes down to when you have that sort of a manager, and anyone in life, where they are that dictatorial to others around them. I think it's a giant sign that there are so many out of control things in their life that this is the one place that they can't be questioned, that what they say goes, that they just take it to such an extreme because it's the one place that they feel, oh my God, I have control here, and they're trying to compensate for the rest of life that is out of control. And you got to feel bad for that.
But I got the feeling that person's an asshole.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and that's probably why half the shit's out of control in the rest of the life.
I'm like, yeah, that person's an asshole everywhere.
Well, and it all kind of works hand in hand because, I mean, at some point, you know, it's like, well, the rest of your life is out of control because no one respects you or wants to be around you because you're a dick to everybody.
Right.
You know, if you just, you know, gave a little bit over here, life will get better over there. And then things over in this place will also start feeling better. You won't feel stressed out and need that level of control, and everything works out better by not being a dick. It all just kind of comes back to don't be an asshole and things will work out better for you. So,
people like that, though, I want everyone under them to quit.
Yeah.
Then that person has to be the one making the hamburgers and hot dogs for the very demanding bingo players.
Yeah. Makes me want to go play bingo and have a hot dog right now. I don't know. I'm
no good at bingo.
Get that craving.
A lesson in frustration. Just about there, and somebody else is like, bingo.
I love bingo when I was a kid. We would go to like the church picnics in Wisconsin, like Catholic churches would have picnics. I wasn't Catholic, but they would have picnics. It was like a whole citywide event and like everyone would go to it because they'd have all these prizes and games. And it was really kind of a reason for the people to go drink as well. I know it's a church event, but normally there's like a beer tent at it. So it was people out there drinking and socializing and they'd always have bingo. I remember like going and playing bingo and with all the old ladies with the big bingo daubers. And then you win like a 12 pack of like cherry 7-Up or something. It was the highlight of like that time of year when I was a kid playing
bingo.
Well, now
it's kind of an in thing again.
Is it?
The drag queen bingo.
Oh, okay.
Like, yeah, like there's a lot of that going on here every weekend.
I did not know that.
And they're all charity events. And then they have some funny drag queens call the bingo. And it's pretty fun. I just went a couple weeks ago.
Do you have your own set of daubers is the question. Like, do you have like a pack?
In fact, that night I had lost my wallet, long story. So I even got there and I didn't have any money to even buy a dauber. And so I'm like, that's cool. I can use a pen. And so I'm using my pen and I realize as far as I can see, everybody's using a dauber. Like nobody's like, I've been using a pen. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm the only one. This is so embarrassing.
It is awkward when you're not fitting in at the bingo hall. That really is kind of it's a sad moment in life.
Well, but those people got like, you know, in those serious bingo halls, you don't mess with those people.
No.
And not only do they have their daubers and everything there, they have the Lucky Charms. They have some decorations for their station or whatever they call it.
Yeah.
Like they're ready.
Yeah, they are prepared.
They have it like every time they go, that one little stuffed animal sits there. And I didn't know that till I went into a bingo hall once. I'm like, I can't.
There you go.
I can't do this. They intimidate me and scare me slightly.
833-HUB is our number at Office Horror Stories to share your office horror story with us. Let's go to our next letter. It says, hey, Tony, I used to work for a rideshare company. I can tell you that you meet a lot of interesting and sketchy people while working. I used to drive mostly at night, usually 10 p.m. to 4 a.m. This would mean I picked up quite a few people who weren't exactly sober. So you can probably guess where this story is going. I live in a college town, so most of my passengers are students, and this night was busy as it was the end of finals. I picked up this drunk girl from a popular bar, and I thought it was weird because she was by herself. Usually people are in groups at nighttime as a safety precaution, but I thought that maybe she decided to go home early. That's until I saw her destination was to another bar. I'm not one to judge, but she was so drunk, I really felt she should go home, but I decided it wasn't my place to suggest she go. She's sitting in the front seat next to me, and she tells me the name of the bar she wants to go to with a heavy slur. As I'm driving, she's slumping forward and to the side. With every bump and turn I make, at one point she falls over towards me and has her full weight on my shoulder and is doing so, shifts my car into neutral. I'm fighting to drive and to get her off me, and I must prop her up with my arm to keep her off me while I drive with my other arm. At this point, she's passed out cold, and I don't know what to do. Being a male driver, it isn't the best situation to have a passed out drunk female stranger in your car at 1 a.m. I decide to proceed to the bar of her choice. As I'm getting closer, I'm trying to wake her up without physically touching her. I was taking extra precaution because I didn't want to shake her awake and scare her. So I'm calling her name and saying that we're here at her destination, and she isn't waking up. I'm starting to think to myself that maybe she could have alcohol poisoning because she's pretty much unresponsive at this point. I'm debating on whether I should take her to the hospital. When she springs awake and looks at me, I asked if she was okay, and she sleepily says yes and apologizes to me for falling asleep. She explained that her friends left her and she was going to where they were. I told her it was no problem and I just wanted to make sure she was okay. She assured me she was and stumbled out of my car. I waved down the bouncer out in front and yelled at him to get her some water after she got into the bar. He gave me a thumbs up and I drove off. At the time, I was worried that I might have a very serious problem. To think that it could have been much worse, like if she had died from alcohol poisoning in my car or something, isn't something I like to think about it. So that could be a scary situation, especially
with
drunk people.
That's a really scary situation for both of them.
Yeah.
It is, as you were telling that story, I kept thinking, where are her people?
Yeah.
Like, how did she get left at a bar that drunk. I mean, yeah. People don't, like, you just can't do that.
No.
Because she could have gotten in the car with somebody who would have totally taken advantage of her.
Mm-hmm.
She was lucky that she ended up with someone, a respectable person.
Yeah.
But, and I saw that recently at a bar. This, and they, I saw the woman go in with other people, and then she gets really drunk. She was drunk when they went in.
Mm-hmm.
But there was other people with her, and they all stayed, and they called her an Uber. So I guess at that point, they're like, she's Ubering home. She's fine. But I'm out front because I was getting ready to leave. Security is having to basically hold her up, and then she starts hitting on a security guy, and they put her in an Uber, and I'm like, but you guys, like, how's he going to get her in her house?
Yeah.
And so in that case, I feel really bad for these drivers because, yeah, he can get her home. She's not driving. But how does he get her home? You know, does he go through her purse and find her keys? She was that kind of drunk.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess the question I would ask, you know, well, back in the day when it was taxis, what would the taxi do for that exact same situation?
Same problem.
Yeah, it is the same problem. I mean, it did.
You know, it ain't anything new, but I just feel bad for those drivers.
Yeah.
Because the people are like, she's Ubering, she's fine, she's not driving drunk. Great.
Mm-hmm.
But at this point, you're like, yeah, our drunk friend's somebody else's problem.
Yeah.
And that to me is not right, especially in those college towns and those young women.
Yeah.
I mean, anybody can be taken advantage of. Sure. But I'm like, you can't leave your friends like that. You need to make sure your friends get home.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and then too, I mean, for the driver's perspective on the whole situation as well, you know, he was just concerned. But, you know, if something did happen to her at some point of the night and she's blackout drunk and she only remembers bits and pieces of what happened throughout the night, she may not know what happened or where, but she remembers the driver of that car and then assumes that something happened with that driver, you know, and then suddenly he's accused of something. He's like, no, I just drove her. There's no way to prove, you know, that.
You know, I honestly think I would drive her to a police substation or someplace,
yeah,
and be like, she's really drunk. I don't know what to do with her. And, you know, I don't want this to reflect on me.
Sure.
And here's her purse. I don't want it. Because then you don't want to be looking through someone's purse.
Yeah.
Because then they can accuse you of stealing, exactly, or whatever.
Yeah. There's just so many things you can't do, you know, as a precaution for safety. You know, but at the same point, you're completely open to liability. There's no way to, it's not good for anybody. I wonder, do they allow a policy where if you are the driver, I mean, I suppose you don't necessarily know how many people you're picking up half the time. There's not usually like, I'm going to have this many passengers box that you check, but that'd be nice to know where you could be if you're that driver going, okay, this is, you know, I'm a male and there's one female that's requesting a ride at 2 a.m. You can say, no, I'm not going to do that, you know, unless it's like a group of people that are there, you know, that are taking this ride with her, or vice versa, or whatever.
A story recently that Uber was doing, and I don't know exactly how it works, but there's some kind of basic, like an alarm button,
mm-hmm,
like on your phone.
Yeah.
That if you feel threatened, they're adding a new feature.
That's there.
I think the driver has access to that as well. So if the driver's feeling threatened, because people could get in there and rob the poor,
sure,
driver.
I suppose just a camera, too, would be that would really fix everything we're talking about,
yeah,
as far as liability goes, where the camera just, you know, you step in the car, you're being recorded. Just be aware. Yeah. It's all there. So, you know, don't do anything bad. I won't do anything bad. And we're all good. And then nobody can make any accusations because, you know, here's the ride. Here's them getting in. Here's them getting out. You know, yeah, case closed. That would probably solve that rather than just.
Seems like a pretty simple setup, too. I don't think
it does.
That would even be that costly.
No, it wouldn't be. I think if I were in that situation, that's what I'd be doing. I'd be covering my bases everywhere I could from any sort of weirdness of what goes on out there. You know, I don't know. There's a lot of things, you know, when you talk about, you know, the general public and you go, well, this could happen or that could happen. And really, a lot of times the worst case scenarios do not happen. But, you know, you got to be, you just got to be prepared just in case. Don't let it like hold you back from doing stuff, but be vigilant, I think, is the lesson there.
Now, my nephew is driving Uber.
Yep.
In Kansas City. And he would do it at night because you could make some decent money.
Sure.
And somebody barfed in his car.
Yeah, that.
And so I'm like, so how do they handle that? And there is a policy, and I do believe that they charge that person's credit card.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, everything's based on your credit card. And for there's a certain amount mm-hmm. that you have to pay to get the car cleaned.
Yeah.
So that person was held responsible for it.
God.
And I'm like, because I'm like, that would piss me off. That's that smell you never get rid of.
Yeah.
It has to be professionally cleaned.
Yeah, that's that, and that's just gross. That is just disgusting. I had a rideshare ride.
And it kind of stops your Ubering for the evening.
It does. It kind of just ends every, like,
for
sorry.
Halt.
Just ignore the smell. That's nothing. I had one, a rideshare thing. It was in Florida this year. And I won't go into detail about the direction that they were going with this, but the driver wanted to talk politics immediately.
Oh, no.
My whole family's in the car, and I'm not going to say one way or the other, cause I don't want to piss anybody off. But they were super passionate about one thing, and it was just like uncomfortable no matter what side you're on, really. Cause they were, he was making some pretty brazen statements that were just like, what? and just like, and you're captive. You're stuck in this car, and I'm stuck in this car with my kids and my wife. So I don't want to, like, I don't know this person from Adam other than they drive this car, and they're quite passionate about their political views to, like, God knows how extreme they may go with them. And I'm just like, what? So you just kind of sit there and just nod your head till they get to the place where they're supposed to drop you off.
And let's just talk about weather.
Yeah, exactly. Or nothing, you know.
What's it going to be like tomorrow?
And I kept trying to, like, change it to something else, and it kept, like, going back and, like, upping it, like, a notch. And I don't know if he thought I was just going to jump on the bandwagon with him or what, but I was just like, okay, yeah. Hey, yeah, look at that new ride over there. You know, we're in Orlando. And we finally get to the place we're supposed to get to. And this is where he dropped us off, in a completely wrong area, like completely missed the gate he's supposed to go through, goes through the wrong one. And we're literally on the opposite side of the parking lot from where we were supposed to be. And this is a large parking lot. And he's like, oh, no, I can pull around and get back to the right area. But I knew this would take getting back out onto the highway and coming back in and out. And it would take another like 20 minutes. So I was like, no, we'll just walk. He's like, no, get out. And I opened the door. I just flung the door open so he wouldn't keep driving. And we just got the fuck out of that car and then walked through the parking lot.
Politics isn't, you don't even talk politics with your family these days.
No, you don't. I don't at all.
Everybody's so dug in on whatever side you're on.
And it's just like, what made you think this was a good idea? And that was such a weirdly uncomfortable ride. I actually did complain about that one because he dropped me off so far away. Because he was so enthralled in his political rant that he couldn't go through the right gate. And I was pointing, you go in over there, you go in over there. And he's like waving his arms, telling his, you know, preaching his thing.
So strange.
And I was just like, okay, this made me extremely uncomfortable. I had to like walk way further than I was supposed to. This defeated the purpose of the ride. And they were good about it. And they did refund me. But it was just like, what the hell? It's like, just, you know, I don't know, and maybe someone can answer this question who's in the world of ride sharing. I don't know how much training it goes or just etiquette is given of like, okay, you're going to do this now. Great. Don't talk about politics. Here's things not to talk about with people in your vehicle. Here's do's and don'ts. Just really that should be a do and don't list, and you should follow it. But I don't know. It was uncomfortable. 833-HATE-JOB is our number. 833-HATE-JOB to share your story with us on Office Horror Stories. Another letter, it says, here's a story from my dad's work. My dad is a seasonal worker in a cheese factory. I.e. only work around for 2/3 of the year, and it's a seasonally laid off. Bit weird, but it's the only work he could find. They treat him like dirt. He's worked in the factory almost, if I can remember, forever, but they've never given him a pay raise or an offer for a full-time job. Throughout his time there, they switched his position almost yearly. One year he was working as a packer. He was working machines that pack the cheese blocks and load the blocks onto trucks. He had a supervisor that was so stupid, it's surprising the guy remembered to breathe. He was the definition of incompetence. Every month or so, the factory would stop for the day to clean the machines and do basic maintenance for all the day. My dad's machine was always the one worse for wear because it had to deal with boiling hot molten cheese. So some of the parts had to be cleaned with strong stuff. My dad was trying to put the machine back together at the end of the day. Spotted some parts in a bucket on the floor in the clear fluid. He called his incompetent supervisor over and asked who had put the parts in the fluid, and did he know what the fluid was? Supervisor said that he'd cleaned the parts himself and it was only soapy water in the bucket. Fair enough, my dad sticks his hand into it, pulls out the part. He said he felt for a few seconds kind of odd after he pulled his hand out. He looked down to see the skin peeling away on his hand. Turns out the fluid was a bleach lye solution. Not sure of details, but the stuff was caustic as hell, and it basically ate away the flesh on his left hand. Got so deep that it even burned away some of the fat in his hand, and he suffered nasty, severe damage and scarring. With this, he went to his supervisor and gave him hell, but the scumbag supervisor denies all knowledge of it. All in all, my dad still works a shitty job. Didn't get a penny for compensation. Can't risk suing the company because he can't afford to lose his job, despite the fact he is more than a case. He told me that his hands are basically tied. If he loses a case, he has no job. If he wins, he gets a payout, but no one in the area will ever hire him again. For reference, my dad has been unemployed for years because he lives in Ireland and is trained for nothing. If that's not crazy, I don't know what is. You know, I think that's something that a lot of areas and employers, you know, kind of rely on, essentially backing people into a corner of, well, you can't do anything about it because if you sue us, you're not qualified for anything else. You're never going to get a job anywhere else here because we know everybody. So we're never going to, you know, give you a reference. We're going to let everybody know not to hire you. And you know, just that sort of an attitude, and then the people feel really trapped, and there's not a whole lot of recourse, and that's just shitty.
That is really shitty.
Yeah.
Like, it makes me really sad because I knew as soon as he said he'd asked and it's in some liquid, I'm like, no, don't put your hand in that.
Yeah.
And like, the company should be paying for that.
Of course.
You know, and I'm assuming, I hope anyway, they paid his medical bills and stuff. But still, that just makes me sad. You know, these are people.
Yeah.
They're people who have lives and families. You can't treat them like that.
No, there should never be a level.
It makes me sad. And I don't care that, you know, maybe he's not a PhD in anything. That doesn't make you any more valuable as a human.
No.
No.
Your level of education should not necessarily dictate the health, the care that you get for your health, especially when the company is at fault for putting you in a dangerous situation, you know?
I got hurt really bad waiting tables once.
Really?
And it sounds kind of weird. I was waiting tables and got really injured. But I did, and I was the opener. And so as the opener, you had this set duty that you went in a half an hour before everybody else and you started coffee, you started tea, and you did all of these duties. Mm-hmm. And so the tea maker was above my head.
Oh God.
And it was automatic and it was hooked up to a water supply. And I pulled out where you put the tea grounds in.
Yeah.
And we actually opened, like, I think we did scoops at that time. So when, yeah, I know we did. So when I pulled it out to put the bag in with the tea, someone had already started it.
Oh.
It told me. So my hand got horribly burned. So I looked down and I knew immediately, like, this is bad because the skin was bubbling. So I go running over to the sink behind the bar, and apparently there was another server, or somebody thought they were doing me a favor, like a manager or somebody. And I'm like, you should kind of tell me, because there was no way you could see if it's going. It's too high. I'm 5'2". And So I go behind the bar, and then the bartender's like, "Oh my God, this is horrible. And you should put soy sauce on a bun." I don't know why. So he goes running and gets his soy sauce.
Oh,
well, it
God.
Was so bad, like my skin is gone. And you can see the muscles or whatever.
Oh, God.
And so he's dumping soy sauce.
Oh, God.
But it didn't hurt any worse, obviously. So I ended up at the ER, and I've got tea grounds and everything. Like, it's just disgusting. My whole hand looked like a mitt. They had to cut my rings off and stuff. And they're like, so I'm telling about the tea. And they're like, okay, we get the tea. Like, there's tea grounds everywhere. And it took forever to clean it out.
Yeah.
But they're like, what is this brown liquid? It's like there's brown liquid in it. And I go, oh, that's soy sauce. They're like, what kind of accident did you get in?
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, yeah, the tea soy sauce accident. And I said, oh, the bartender thought that the soy sauce would help it. And they're like, you don't even have skin. Like, I told them the same thing. Like, but the bad thing was, is that like the restaurant covered my hospital bills, obviously. But I was a waitress. I got zero money. And I can't wait tables.
Yeah.
For like 3 weeks because my hand was in a mitt, basically. So some of the waiters, like, they all gave money. So I think I got like $300 from them.
Mm-hmm.
But I had no way of making any money. I had no sick days. And here I am in college. I got rent to pay and stuff.
Sure.
And I'm freaking out. Like, how am I going to do this? So I ended up back to work too soon. But you don't have any choice.
You're just stuck.
Sad.
Yeah.
You know, because every job should have some sick days, or if you're hurt on the job, you should be able to be paid for until you can come back.
Yeah. Especially when it happens on the job, and there's that. I think that does exist legally. I mean, I think a lot of employers, though, they'll sit behind the, yeah, I mean, technically, if you want to get litigious, then they'll cave.
Yeah.
But,
and I was a waitress. So all waitresses, I think for the most part, are considered part-time employees. You're making $2 an hour, depending on where you live.
But then, you know,
I think it's gone up to $2.12 here in this state.
Yeah.
But it's like, you make no money.
Unless you have access to like the attorney, like if your cousin's an attorney, your brother's in it, then like you got to go pay the attorney to write the letter or something first. And, you know,
but you don't have any sick days as an employee like that.
No.
And that's a sad thing about that situation, because, you know, that was the case there.
Yeah.
Oh, just sad.
I'm just looking up soy sauce for burns. And it's kind of like an old wives' tale remedy from what I'm understanding.
I've never even looked that up because I don't know why I've never looked that up. I always just thought that was so weird. You're dumping soy sauce on my hand.
Some people, I mean, I think it's for like light burns, not like severe, your skin is bubbling burns, more like,
yeah,
ooh, I touched the hot pan and I, you know, it may give a blister, but it's not like what you had. Some people suggest it. I'm not endorsing or suggesting it by any means. A lot of people are saying there is no medical science backing this up. The best thing you can do is get it under cold water as quickly as possible.
Which is exactly what I was doing.
Yeah.
Like, I ran, because when I looked at it and it started bubbling, and then it was on the inside of my wrist.
Yeah.
And that was the really bad part, that the skin had come off. And so I ran behind the bar. I didn't even want to look at it, but I just put it under the sink.
Yeah.
And then that's when the bartender's like, you gotta put soy sauce on that.
It seems crazy to me because it goes against everything you think about with a wound, where salt in a wound. Soy sauce, to be honest, basically,
it did not hurt anymore.
Like, yeah. Well, I mean, at some point,
you could have dumped all the damn soy sauce you wanted. But,
yeah. I mean, at some point, your wound is
a regular wound. It'd have been different, but that was an exceptional one.
But it's liquid salt, basically. I mean, like be pouring that onto a wound it just seems insane. But
an open one.
Yeah. But I guess, you know, some people, it sounds like one of those things where it's like, well, grandma said. And you don't really, you know, there's so many things like that we get in life where a relative or something that you just always heard. And you don't, it takes like until adulthood at some point, somebody says, you do what? Where the fuck did you hear that?
Well, and here's the crazy thing. And maybe it actually worked. I don't know.
Yeah.
Because after it healed, there was no scar left from it. None.
Wow.
In about a month or 5 weeks after it happened, you could never even tell it happened. And there was a place on my wrist, like, you would never know. Like, I have no burn scar there, but there was no skin there.
But the interesting thing is, Carol, you're not aware of this. You do smell like Panda Express.
kind of all
every day for 10 years that I worked with you. It's like, do you have Panda Express today? No. And it's like, it must be the soy sauce hand. You know, that's,
you know, Carol.
That's what it was.
The way she smells like soy sauce.
Like Panda Carol. So there you go. That's going to wrap up today's episode of Office Horror Stories. If you like the show, hey, press subscribe, give us some stars, give us a review wherever you are downloading the podcast. And of course, share your stories, officehorrorstories.com.